We're in part five of our series on the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship to God. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. If I had to write two words out to the side of your notes, I'd encourage you to write God first. What God is really trying to say is, I am your number one priority ahead of your family, your marriage, your career. You've got to put me first. The second commandment is, you shall not make for yourself an idol in any form. And I would put there, God only. God says, I don't want you going after other substitutes, that you're trying to do a God plus thing. I want you to understand that there's no other gods before me. It's just God only. Don't make any idols to take my place. The third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And I would put God honor. Honor the name of God. His name is to be held with the highest respect. And last week, Pastor Mark talked about the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I would write God holy. And he made a very interesting analogy that I hadn't thought before. He said, when we talk about finances, we say 90% with God goes farther than 100% without God. And the analogy he made is that some people believe if I work 7 days without God, I'll get done a lot more than if I work 6 days and I take 1 day to rest and worship. And so what God was saying to us is, you got to step back and recharge and remember the priority of rest and worship. We're beginning now to talk about the last six commandments, and all of those deal with our relationship with each other. And the first place to begin as we talk about relationships is with our parents. And it's ironic that this weekend, it also comes on Father's Day weekend. And I want to say to all you men on both campuses, thanks for making worship a priority. That you come on the day that we're supposed to honor fathers, you come to honor your heavenly Father by your worship. The fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You see, this fifth commandment is a reminder that if we're going to survive as a society, we must respect the people that God has placed in authority over us. And I really think it begins with the most important social institution in society, and that's the family. According to Psychology Today, the number one priority of parents today is that they want to teach their kids to be independent. However, 40 years ago, the number one priority of parents was to instill moral values in their children. Go visit a school classroom today. Go to a shopping mall, talk to a police officer, volunteer at church, and you will soon see that many children today have little respect for people placed in positions of authority. John Ruskin said this, "The history of the world is not a record of our wars, but the record of our households." I like that. What's going on in the world is not how many wars we win, but are we winning the job when it comes to right in the local household. So why in the world did God give us this commandment anyway? Number one, I believe because there are no perfect parents. You see, God is the only perfect parent. None of us have perfect parents, and none of us are perfect ourselves. We all have flaws. All of our family members, we all have flaws in some way. Somebody sent me this. It says, I saw a duck the other day. It had the feet of my Aunt Faye. Then it walked, was heading south. It waddled like my Uncle Ralph. And then it turned, I must propose, its bill was formed like Aunt Jane's nose. I thought, oh no, it's just my luck. Someday I'll look just like a duck. I cried to Mom about my fears, and then she said, son, dry your tears. You look like me, so walk with pride. All those people are from your daddy's side. Every family's had those kind of conversations, haven't you, at family reunions. You see, many of you maybe have had parents who were abusive or manipulative or neglectful. And you're sitting here saying, wait a minute, does this commandment really mean that I have to honor them? Does that mean you ignore the pain, you put on a happy face, you act like everything was okay and nothing bad ever happened? Of course not. God says we're to honor our parents, not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. God wants you to honor the position of parenthood because they gave you life. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. In fact, I believe there are three sources of authority in life: the home, the church, and the government. And I want you to stop and think about how we can see the breakdown of all of these sources of authority in our culture today. Let's talk about the home. That's, to me, where it has to start. And today, many children talk back to their parents. There's a lack of discipline. And one reason, I believe, is you have to decide as a parent, are you going to be a person of authority, or do you want to be a peer with your children? Do you want to be liked and loved, or do you believe your responsibility is to establish the guidelines and the values and the boundaries, whether they like you or not? It's very difficult if you want to be liked to establish authority as a parent. Secondly, how about the church? Well, today in the church, if we're not careful, we live by our own rules. Just because the Bible says something, just because we have spiritual elders or pastors, that does not mean we're going to follow what they say or the Bible says. Each of us, if we're not careful, we pick and choose how we want to live our lives and who we want to be held accountable to. Or look at the government. We often take the law into our own hands and do what we seem fit. And so you see, it's difficult for the church and government to be seen as authorities if authority is not lived out and honored at home. And so God, first of all, gave us this commandment because he realized there are no perfect parents. Number two, because he realized that the respect for authority, as I said, begins at home. Parents, establish authority early on in your children's life, or you will pay the price later. Because you see, if your kids won't respect you, then what chance does a school teacher, a coach, employer, or even a spouse have later on? I believe respect for authority is a critical lesson every child must learn. Look how important it was in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn, rebellious son who doesn't want to obey his father and mother, and he won't listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. And they'll say to the elders, hey, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He won't obey us. Hang on. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge this evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and will be afraid. Wow. That passage tells what God instructed the people of the Old Testament, the Israelites, to do with a rebellious son. And you and I might read this and say, why stone him? Why didn't you put him in time out for a little while? Because God realized that one rebellious son would affect the whole city. You see, disobedience and rebellion doesn't become just one family's problem. It becomes a whole community's problem, and it ends up becoming a whole culture's problem. Now, hang on. There's no record of this law ever being used in the Old Testament. But it was put in place to establish the priority of the importance of authority in the home. Let me share a modern example of this principle. James Dobson shares the story of a 10-year-old boy named Robert. Robert was a kid, age 10, that was out of control. His mother couldn't control him. When he would go to the dentist, he would grab the instruments, he would talk back to the doctor, he would destroy everything in the office, and to the dentist's surprise, the mother would sit there passively and fold her hands and do nothing but shake her head in bewilderment. Well, during one visit, the dentist observed that Robert had all kinds of very severe cavities, and he was going to have to refer him to a specialist. But who in the world would he refer this kid to? Because he wouldn't get any future business. But he heard of an older dentist that was very good handling children, and so he referred him, and the mother took young Robert to the new old dentist. Robert arrived prepared for battle. Went in the office, and the old doctor said, get in the chair, young man. And 10-year-old Robert said, no chance. Son, he said, I told you to climb into the chair, and that's what I intend for you to do. And Robert stared at the old dentist for a moment and then said, if you make me get in that chair, I will take off all of my clothes. And the dentist finally said, son, go ahead and take off your clothes. And young Robert removed his shirt, his undershirt, his shoes and socks, and then looked up in defiance. All right, son, the old dentist said, get in the chair. 10-year-old Robert said, you didn't hear me. I said, if you make me get in that chair, I'll take off all my clothes. And the old dentist said, son, take them all off. And Robert proceeded to take everything off and stood in front of the dentist and his assistant totally naked. The old dentist said, son, get in the chair. And Robert did as he was told and sat quietly during the entire procedure. When the doctor was done, he told Robert, "You can get down from the chair." And 10-year-old Robert said to the old dentist, "Give me my clothes now." And the dentist said, "I'm sorry. Tell your mother that we're going to keep your clothes tonight and she can pick them up in the morning." He opened the door to let Robert go meet his mother. Can you imagine the shock on his mother's face as her son walked out in the waiting room naked and pink as the day he was born? And she grabbed his hand, walked through the doctor's office, walked out to the parking lot, and took her son home. The next day, Robert's mother returned to retrieve her clothes, and she asked the receptionist, can I speak to the old dentist? She said, sure. She went in and sat down and told the dentist, "You don't know how much I appreciate what happened here yesterday. You see, Robert has been blackmailing me every time we're in a public place, and he doesn't get what he wants. He says he's going to take off his clothes if I don't get what he wants, and you're the first person to call his bluff. And I want you to know the change in his life in just 24 hours has been incredible. And I want to say to you, thank you." And I would say to you today, that old dentist would be arrested for child abuse. Why did God give us this commandment to honor our parents? Number three, because how I relate to my parents affects all of my other relationships. You don't believe me? You just sit down and talk to a young person. You talk to anybody and you ask them, "Tell me about your dad. Tell me about your mother." And all you have to do is listen to them talk. And whether they had a positive or negative relationship growing up with their parents will determine how they will or will not follow or respond to authority. Years ago in college, I went to a seminar called Basic Youth Conflicts. It was a weekend seminar in Kansas City, and I'll never remember. The premise of that whole seminar was, young people, you better understand, if you have basic conflicts as young people you haven't worked through, they will resurface in your adult years. They'll resurface in marriage, they'll resurface in parenting, they'll resurface in the corporate world. Respect for God and authority begins at home. And in my opinion, if we're going to survive as a nation, obeying this fifth commandment and honoring our parents is vital. So let's ask another question. How do I make my parents a priority? How do I live out this fifth commandment? Let's look at the different stages of life and see how it impacts all of us. Number one, as a child, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. Obeying and respecting them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The Bible teaches that as long as you're living in your parents' home, you have to obey them. If you are dependent upon your parents, in my opinion, they have the right to set the rules. If you don't like the rules, then move out and take care of yourself. You see, if you want to be obedient to God as a follower of Jesus Christ, you must show respect and be obedient to your parents. How do I show respect? By obeying them. How do you make that happen? My opinion, this is Wilson 4:2. Happened with my dad and my family, it happened in my family, and I've encouraged my son-in-laws and my son to do the same thing. Do not let your kids talk back to their mother. Don't let that happen. This is Father's Day, and I want to say to you, dads, one of the best things you can do for your family, never let your kids talk back to you or your spouse. You know why? If they can talk back to you, they will disrespect you. And if you allow them to talk back to your wife will disrespect you. Now, this gets more complex in blended families. Because sometimes in blended families, what do we say? I'll discipline my kids and you discipline your kids. And so if you're not careful in a blended family, if you as the mom allow your kids to talk back to your husband, who is their stepdad, to me, it still causes disrespect in the home. And you're going to have to work through that. But the best thing that you can do for your children is to teach them to respect their mother and respect their father. As a young person, number two, I honor my parents by accepting and appreciating them. Isn't it true, the older you become, you begin to see the faults in your parents? Isn't that true? I mean, that was with me. My dad was my hero, and I can remember it like yesterday that we were in this building in church, and my dad came out, it's probably 15 years ago, and so he was about 75, 80, and he came to church, and I would preach, and I'd look out, and he would cry, and I'd say, "What's your problem?" He said, "Oh, the young men and families you got in this church, you're reaching for Jesus, it just tears me up. I'm so excited." But he said. I go, uh-oh, here we go. He said, but if I was coming to your church, I'd sit out in the parking lot till your music's over. He said, your music is so loud, you can't understand the words. And he's a great singer. He said, I just sat in my car. You have to preach. He's my hero, 70 years old. And you know what I caught myself saying? I said, Dad, I'm not trying to reach you. I couldn't believe I said that. What was I saying? It's basically, Dad, I love you, but I don't have to please you anymore. I got to please my Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? We all go through that. And my dad looked at me, and he was old, but he wanted to take me out of the car and work me over, you know, for just not respecting his opinion on that. And I know as I raise my kids, and the older they've got, they said, we had a great family, but the more you talk to them, they go, our family wasn't that perfect after all. Because the older you get, you begin to see the weaknesses and hang-ups of your family, and you've got to learn to accept your parents in spite of their weaknesses. You say, well, why in the world should I respect and appreciate my parents? Because no matter what kind of a job that they have done for you as parents, they gave you something nobody else could give you. They gave you life. And God chose them to bring you into the world. A mother of three rebellious teenagers was asked, hey, if you had to do it all over again, would you still have children? She said, absolutely. I just wouldn't have had those. You see, I believe another way that young people can honor their parents is by listening to what they have to say. Proverbs 23 says what? Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You see, when you're out on your own, you're not bound by your parents' advice, but don't despise it either. And while the best thing you can do for young adults, or you get married as young couples, and when you're talking to your parents, no matter how old parents are, grandparents, we still love to give younger people our advice. And so simply give them the respect of listening doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's all a part of accepting them. Acceptance also includes forgiveness. Because you see, if you live together as a family for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by other family members. And if we're going to exist as a family, we've got to learn how to forgive when we hurt each other. Again, Proverbs 20:20 says, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. That means that your life will end up like a lamp that goes out in the dark. Let me paraphrase it. It means if you can't respect and accept your parents, over time, you will stumble through life groping around for answers. And so if you're still hurting, if you still have resentment over the things that your parents have done to you in the past, you've got to release your bitterness to God or it'll destroy you. You see, okay, what do I appreciate about my parents? I think there's two things you got to appreciate about your parents. Number one, you got to appreciate their effort. Parenting is a difficult and demanding job, and you'll never understand that until you become a parent yourself. It's a tough job. I'm sure that my parents would have had it easier in life if it hadn't been for me and my other four siblings. They had to adjust their schedules. They had to adjust their life goals to raise their children. And I'm blown away by a lot of people today that they don't want kids. And I go, why? And they go, because we don't want them to mess with our life. There's things that we want to do. This is Father's Day weekend. And I want to say to you, thank your parents. Thank your dad for their time and effort in raising you. Appreciate their effort. Number two, appreciate their sacrifice. Listen, parenting is expensive. Statistics say that it costs at least $250,000 to raise a child to 18 years of age. This week, I saw a new poll out by Pew Research. Hang on. It said 24% of 18 to 34-year-olds have moved back in with their parents or never left. Moved back because of the bad economy or never left. One-fourth, 18 to 34-year-olds are still living at home. I got a tougher one. 93%, it said, of baby boomer parents are still helping their adult children financially. When your parents decided to have children, they decided that they would have to do without some things that they would like to have in their life. So respect them. Number three, and as adult, I honor my parents by affirming and not abandoning them. You see, for many parents, the older they get, the less respect they get. Why? All of their lifelong friendships have now died. They feel lonely. Their opinions are no longer valued in the marketplace. Their opinions are no longer valued in the family. And now their grown children often have moved away and they're busy with their own families. And I want to say that older parents have a great need to feel loved and to know that they made a positive contribution in your life. How do you affirm your older parents? Let me suggest three or four things. One way, keep in touch with them. By phone or letter or email or Facebook or whatever you do, visit them. Number two, share with them what's going on in your life. When I talk to my mom now, who's on the rest home, when I talk to her, she asks me a little bit about myself. She wants to know a lot more what's going on with the grandkids and the great-grandkids. Share with them what's going on. I think it's important as your parents get older, when you talk to them, talk about memories that you had together that made an incredible impact upon your life and that were fulfilling. Because you see, the way we treat our aging parents is a testimony to our Christian faith. Look what it says in the Message translation in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talking about Christians, take care of widows who are destitute. If a widow has family members to take care of her, let them learn that religion begins at their own doorstep and that they should pay back with gratitude some of what they've received. This pleases God immensely. Tell these things to the people so that they will do the right thing in their extended family, because anyone who neglects to care for family members in need repudiates the faith. It means it denies the faith. It cancels out the fact that we say we're followers of Christ. It's worse than refusing to believe in the first place. See, I believe when parents become old, our parents, and they cannot take care of themselves, it's not the government's job to take care of them. It is our responsibility. When you were younger, they bathed you, they fed you, they took care of you. And when they get older and they can't take care of ourselves, we've got to make sure they're taken care of. Now, that may mean different things. It may mean that you add on a room so that they can live with you. It may mean that you hire a nurse to come in on a frequent basis to help them get through the day. Or it may be that you put them in the best assisted living facility available. My point is this. It's our responsibility to make sure our parents are cared for. And my wife and I are going through that. Last month, we went back to visit our parents. Our two mothers are each 94 years of age. Her dad died several years ago. My dad died last year at age 95, one day after he and Mom's 72nd anniversary. And the next week, she had to go into the rest home. And my wife's mother still is able to live at home, and people come in and help her out. And I want you to know, my wife and I living out here in Arizona, if it wasn't for our siblings that are able to look after them and visit them and take care of them on a consistent basis, we would have had to make some major changes in our own life. And I'm so thankful for what they've decided to do to help take care of my parents. And many of you baby boomers in here, I know, are going through the same situation that my wife and I are going through. I want to say this word to parents. If you want to be honored, we're talking about what? Honor your father and mother. If you want to be honored, then be honorable yourself. Be a positive example of Jesus Christ. Because you see, respect cannot be demanded. It has to be earned. Be honorable. When your children leave home, release them, pray for them, and encourage them. In my opinion today, we have way too many helicopter parents that still are trying to hover over their kids, and their kids are 42. You've got to let them go. You've got to leave. Let them leave so they can cleave. You've got to release so that they can connect. Doesn't mean they never talk to you again, but it means emotionally you have to let them build their own family. Release them, pray for them, encourage them. Also, enjoy being a grandparent. That's the stage where we're at. Enjoy being a grandparent. Share your values with them. Share your faith. You got to make up your mind as a grandparent when your kids come. Are they going to see that place as a place of fun, or do they see you as the enforcer? Do they come and say you are the disciplinarian when they're with you, or do you let them delight? And in my opinion, you got to back off a little bit if you want them to enjoy coming to see you. Let their parents be the enforcers. You're going to have to love on them a little bit. That's my opinion, and it's much easier for my wife to adjust to that than me. Okay, but I've had to learn, if I'm the tough guy, they're not going to want to come. Got to back off a little bit. One last thing, to grandparents that are raising grandchildren, And I'm amazed the number of grandparents we have in our church that are raising grandchildren. My heart goes out to you. I have incredible respect for you because I can't imagine at the stage in your life when you're ready to finally empty nester and enjoy life and do what you want and your retirement plans, and you make major adjustments of sacrifice and struggle to take your grandkids and raise them. But as Bob said, at age 7, what he just shared in his testimony, when his parents took each other's life, basically he said, my grandfather at age 7 rescued me and impacted my life. And so I want to say to, again, some of you grandparents that are raising your grandkids, you are my heroes. It's incredible for what you're doing. You see, for some of you here today, this is a painful message because you've had parents that have hurt you deeply. And if you're not careful, you still hold bitterness. Or maybe your parents got divorced when you were younger and they forced you to choose between mom and dad. And you say, man, I didn't know what to do. And you still struggle. And I want to say to you, you still got to honor both of them. You got to honor their position. It doesn't mean you honor their lifestyle or the decisions they're making. Some of you were abandoned by your parents. And I want to say to you, you get special attention from God. He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. No matter what your situation or your struggle in your family, forgive, release your bitterness, try to make peace, and move on with your life. You know why? Life is too short, and the price is too high for us to not honor our parents. Henry Drummond said it this way, strength of character can be acquired at work, but beauty of character is learned at home. I like that. Strength of character, you can get in the marketplace, but beauty of character is learned at home. The family is the supreme conductor of Christianity. And that's why this fifth commandment is so vital to our church and our nation. What's the takeaway? What's one thing that I would like you to do from this message that we just don't listen and go home? Let's put it into practice. What's the one thing that you need to do to show honor to your parents? Let me suggest some things. Number one, if your parents are still alive, I'd encourage you to write a letter to them. I know you can text them. I know you can call them, and that helps. And I would encourage you on Father's Day, if your dad's still alive, call them. But you know what? In the world of technology today, I don't know about you, but I guarantee you, a handwritten personal note means more to us than all the technology blips we get. Because you can go back to it, you can put it up, you can see it again and again. Write that letter. Make that phone call to your dad this weekend. Have a face-to-face visit. How do you show honor? You know one of the best ways I think I can honor my mom and dad? By transferring their Christian values to the next generation. That's the way I can honor them. I've got to keep the legacy going of the Christian faith that they had, and I believe the best thing that my kids can do to honor Sue and I is to transfer their same Christian love for Jesus Christ to their kids. Another thing, you'd say, wait a minute, my parents weren't very honorable. How can I honor them? Listen carefully. You break the cycle. You break the cycle. You make a decision as parents that we're going to live like Jesus and we're going to extend forgiveness when others still want to hold on to bitterness. God said, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. I was so blessed to have godly parents. I'm so thankful that I had a father who loved and served Jesus. He was my hero. He was a difference maker. And I want to say to all the men that are here on both campuses today, that this is a Father's Day weekend. And I just want you guys to know that you're winners and you can make a difference in your family, in your church, in this community. We live in a time today, in my opinion, where our culture is devaluing the role of men and fathers. And I believe that is totally wrong. And I want to say to you, at this church, we want to partner with you and do all we can to help you feel like you can win as a dad. Because your success is vital to the future of this generation and this world. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Lord God, today, we are so thankful for our parents. And that's easy for me to say because my mom and dad were godly. They shared their faith. My dad was my hero. And it's easy for me to honor my parents. For some today, it's not as easy. But we have to understand, as has already been said, that we have a heavenly Father that loves us. And if we have felt abused or neglected or abandoned by our earthly parents, we have a heavenly Father that does love us and honors us. And we need to honor Him so that our life can be fulfilled. To parents today, to single moms, to single dads, to moms, especially fathers, help us not to buy into the culture of the world, which allows tolerance over truth, which is backed off, in my opinion, on discipline and accountability. May we realize that the things we set in place in our families when our kids are little, to respect and honor each other and honor you, it will pay dividends for the rest of our life. Help us to honor our parents. Help us to honor each other, realizing that the most important thing is we honor you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Jesus.